Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. While free street magazines are a staple of many large cosmopolitan cities, Auckland has had trouble sustaining the Groove Guide. The free weekly gig and music guide was recently closed, but just when everyone was writing the obituary, a last minute sale means it will continue, with music manager, mover and shaker Grant Hislop the new owner. The Groove Guide is dead. Long live the Groove Guide. So Grant, as a first thought, why did you choose to buy this mag?
Well, like a lot of people, a couple of weeks ago on a Monday morning, you know, woke to the news that it was being shut down. And I mean, I've used with my bands over the years, especially overseas, you know, street press has been so important, you know, to get in those formative years. And Groove Guide and Real Groove before that had been a big part of you know, a lot of bands in this country. And I was, you know, intrigued as to what the kind of story was behind it. So, you know, made the old phone call and just found out what the situation was, and went to see the guys. And kind of once I looked at all the numbers, I didn't think it wasn't that far off. But their whole call was it didn't fit into their family of publications, and they weren't in the music circle, so it wasn't a natural fit, being Tangible Media. You know, so they're very open about that. It just was they were finding it hard to make it work with their other publications, you know.
They did seem to be signalling when they said, we're shutting it down, that it could work for someone other than them. And so you've obviously gone in and thought that it could work for you. I mean, they are a pretty big and successful magazine publishing business. What can you do that they can't?
Are you calling them arrogant? Is that what you're saying?
Or just the secrets of life?
I think it needs to be an operator kind of scenario where, you know, I do five or six different things. Don't make a lot of money from any of them, but, you know, I think everybody in music is a bit like that, you know. So I'm already doing a number of other things, and I don't need to draw any money from it as such. Obviously, I'm doing it because I see the potential to make money from it and complement the other things I do. But in the first instance, I don't need to take any money. So if you cut a couple of salaries out of there instantly, you're kind of on the right side of the ledger. So it's that simple. You know, I've got to work a little bit harder. But
and does that explain why you will be editing it?
Absolutely.
In order to cut the salaries out?
Yep. And I don't say, you know, that's not going to be forever, and I don't claim to profess to be a great editor, but I am good at, you know, going, this can, you know, this bit, put that together, and, you know,
that is an editor.
Yeah.
Well, there's been some good writing and a really lively, you know, they're really well connected people that have been involved, and it's done. You know, from the outside, you look and you're like, wow, they're doing all the things that a free street press should do.
Yes.
But the market hasn't been big enough. But do you think you can grow that market?
It's a simple, you know, more revenue equation. I mean, I loved it as it was. It's no, you know, I don't think it needs reinventing as such.
Because how long has it survived for?
Thus 7 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious. Have there been phases in its life where it has been quite successful and made money over those times?
I think it grew out of obviously Real Groovy Records and you know, it was a functional part of their day to day life and that community. So clearly it served that purpose in the old A3 format, or A5 format, it was probably a lot less costly to produce and so on. So but I think that as I said, the numbers weren't miles off, and I think it's clear, you know, and I think the promoters, especially in the live music scene, has been very supportive of it.
I mean, I've sort of wondered this, because it seems to me that there's a certain mindset behind the person that goes and buys their own magazine or starts their own magazine. You know, do you have to be, I don't know, egotistical, somehow driven to do this?
Oh, I think it'd be fun. Yeah. Absolutely. Rock and roll. I mean, I watch Californication and Entourage. What's your point? If you can't have, you know, if you can't
own
have
this
fun
town.
With it, hello.
Has it been something you've thought about in the past, though, over the years? You've gone, that'd be fun to have a magazine, to run a magazine.
I've always... I mean, I'm passionate about you know, music, news, and information. I've been passionate for some time that there hasn't been a great you know, news source for that kind of thing, you know. And that's one of the things I'd like to, you know, build into the evolution of the magazine, is actually, you know, drawing some. One of the great things.
Yeah, where
is,
where do you want to take it?
Well, I mean, we, you know, all the guys that kind of, or people that are involved in the game day to day, privy to, you know, what you talk about at the pub or whatever, and quite a lot of it's, I think, would be interesting to people, you know, and it's not necessarily all scandal, but you kind of realise that through after 25 years in the game, you know a lot of people around the world, and you are quite often, you know, it's like I remember when I started boarding school when I was 9 and they made you write a letter home every week, and I said, but what the hell do I write home every week? And, you know, mum and dad said, well, just we're interested in what you do every day, you know. So people, we probably take it for granted what's, you know, not that interesting to us. People who are interested in music might, you know, find it, you know, interesting. I mean, I was, you know, met Seymour Stein a few weeks ago in Los Angeles, and, you know, he's at that stage of his life where he's talking about signing the Ramones and Talking Heads and Madonna, and then Madonna's first signing on Maverick when they set that up and all that kind of thing. And they're great stories, you know. And there's so much of that wealth of, you know, there's lots of people around who love to talk about, you know, very interesting things. So I'd love to get a little bit more of, you know, that kind of content in there and just draw our, you know, our net a little wider, you know.
And how about in practical terms? Are you going to keep it at the magazine size format? Are you going to drop back to the pocket format?
Yeah, it's very much 50. I mean, I've just been asking people what, you know, and you know, users and people who are involved with it, what they think. And it's very 50-50 on whether some, you know, half of them like the old format, half of them like the new one. But I'm keeping it at the same format. And probably the addition I'll make is the gig listings. You'll be able to pull those out and stick them in your pocket. That'll be kind of a simple change because that's the information that sometimes people want to.
That's a good way of judging how good the other stuff is too, because it's like when you go to the big day out and you get those little things and you pull out the timetable and you just see everyone's chucked the rest of it away. You know, if you see a whole lot of groove guys lying there with just the middle pages ripped out. In terms of what's happening around town in a live sense, I mean, that's going to be an integral part of the magazine, the street press, you know, what's on, visitors to the city or just people that live here.
Yep.
There must be a hell of a lot going on these days, is there?
Yeah, I mean, there's an enormous, that's the other thing that, you know, got me interested is there's just that part of the business is just growing. You know, it's amazing since, I mean, I used to manage, or still manage Good Shirt Affairs and Pluto and bands like that. So 10 years ago, since we were trying to, you know, tour and do things, it's a completely different game. So the great thing is, and I was really impressed that all the contributors, kind of within 10 minutes of hearing of the change, they all wrote to me pretty much within, the first hour going, hey, we're still in. And I'm, you know, absolutely relying on those guys and that community to, I mean, it's their mag, and they're very passionate about it, and, you know, they're all out there, they're the ones going to all the gigs, and, you know, these guys have been doing this for a long time, basically for tickets to go to shows, you know, so, you know, I think it's awesome, you know, and we need it.
And where does online sit? Because there was a lively website that's been attached to it, and as we all know, everything online costs money and makes very little.
Yeah. Same thing. I see that needs to evolve as well. You know, once again, I think that's where the real news, you know, and we've just been starting. There's a young fella just looking after it in the meantime. And, you know, so any bit of news that comes through, I'm just forwarding it to him and going, hey, get it up there. And I think that's going to be, you know, a big part of the future.
Is it going to be, do you think that the online side will eventually become bigger than the print side, or is it still very much in your mind a tangible product?
Look, I think the real product is the street thing. I mean, that's the twist. It's the unique position, whatever you want to call it in marketing speak, I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, there's no one else doing it at this point, and I think that's our job. There are lots of people, and, you know, lots of people doing good online stuff, you know, but it's the street press that's the actual, you know, bit of the market that needs satisfying.
It's been a place for a lot of young journos to start out when they're first coming through. To continue to, you know, have your door open in that regard?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, talking about Seymour before, he started at 14 for Billboard analysing their charts, you know. I mean, I want to have some fun with it as well. So, you know, I've always wanted to do a promo, you know, like the Almost Famous movie. And, you know, so one of the first promos we're going to do is send, you know, 15 or 16-year-old or an up-and-coming journalist or photographer away to, you know, on a Naked and Famous tour of Europe and report back and, you know, kind of have a little bit of fun. You know, maybe we do that once a year or something, you know.
Well, that's a good way to end up in court, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What to do with my son? We'll be sent off to Europe. No, that sounds wonderful. So it's business as usual.
Yeah, so we're taking a couple of weeks off, but 6th of July back on the street.
6th of July, cool. Yeah. Available in every sort of record store foyer and side of the road and whatnot.
Yeah, and hot girls on the street going, you know.
I see. That's where we're heading. Thank you very much for coming in, and best of luck. Hopefully we can talk to you on the first, second, third anniversaries.
Great. Thanks, guys. Cheers. Appreciate it.
That was Grant Hislop. Coming up after the break, Liam Finn with his new album.